From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jim Howard. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in two cases from Florida, testing whether it is unconstitutionally cruel and unusual punishment to sentence juveniles to life in prison without parole for a crime that does not involve a death. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
Joe Sullivan was 13 years old when he was convicted of raping a 72-year-old woman. The main evidence against him was the testimony of two older boys who broke into the house with him. They got short sentences. Sullivan got life without parole. His lawyer filed no appeals and was later disbarred. Now, 20 years later, his case is one in which the Supreme Court is examining the constitutionality of life terms for juveniles. The Supreme Court 4 years ago struck down the death penalty for juveniles because the court said that juveniles are so immature that they're less culpable than adults. But the court also noted that death is different from other punishments. Today, juvenile advocates will try to persuade the court that life in prison without parole is, in effect, death by incarceration, especially for someone who didn't commit a homicide. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
China's government is offering Africa $10 billion in low-interest loans over the next 3 years in a bid to strengthen ties with African nations. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Beijing.
Speaking at a China-Africa summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, Premier Wen Jiabao said that China's support for African development was real and its commitment would continue regardless of future developments. In addition to the low-interest loans, Wen said China would cancel the government debts of some of Africa's poorest nations and build 100 clean energy projects in Africa using solar power, hydropower, and biogas. China has rejected criticism that it is supporting regimes such as Sudan and Zimbabwe in a global search for oil, gas, and minerals. While some Africans have been critical of China's involvement, many others feel it has done better than Western nations at fulfilling its pledges of aid. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
Commuters in Philadelphia will find getting to work easier than they might have expected last night when they went to bed. Shortly after midnight local time, Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell announced that the city's transit system and a transportation union had reached agreement on a 5-year contract. Transit Authority spokeswoman Jerry Williams says the system should be up and running for the morning commute.
We are hoping to have a gradual return to normal service starting as early as 4 a.m.
About 5,000 workers walked off the job last Tuesday. Senator Joe Lieberman says he wants Congress to investigate whether the shootings at Fort Hood should be considered a terrorist attack. Some of Nadal Hassan's classmates in a program at a military college had complained that Hassan gave a presentation in which he allegedly justified suicide bombing and said that Islamic law trumped the U.S. Constitution. Lieberman is the head of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. This is NPR News. Police in Canada have arrested a Rwandan immigrant in connection with the genocide in Rwanda in the early 1990s. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, he's the second Rwandan to be charged under Canada's new Crimes Against Humanities Act.
Jacques Mungwerere was arrested at his home in Windsor, Ontario, and has been officially charged with war crimes. His arrest caps a 6-year police investigation that involved questioning witnesses beyond Canada's borders. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police War Crimes Unit would only say that the 37-year-old Mungwerere was wanted in connection with a genocide in an area of Rwanda that borders on the Congo. It was the scene in 1994 of a horrific massacre where at least 2,000 Tutsis died when bulldozers knocked down the church where they had sought refuge. Canadian police say they're determined to prosecute these kinds of cases to the full extent of the law. Mungwerere is only the second person to be charged under Canada's War Crimes Act. Another Rwandan, Desiré Munyeneza, was found guilty of genocide earlier this year and sentenced to life in prison. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Officials and residents along the Gulf Coast are preparing for Hurricane Ida. Currently, the storm is moving north from the Yucatan Peninsula across the Gulf of Mexico with winds of 105 miles per hour. Forecasters say Ida could weaken before it makes landfall as early as Tuesday. Hurricane warnings are in place from the Florida Panhandle to Mississippi, watches stretch across Louisiana. Governor Bobby Jindal has already declared a state of emergency and put the Louisiana National Guard and state police on high alert. The price for a barrel of oil inched above $78 Monday in Asian trading. Lower consumer demand and a weaker dollar helped push the benchmark crude price up 94 cents. I'm Jim Howard, NPR News, Washington.